when the third Torah, every word of Rabbi Nachman is shining with such Ruach HaKadosh. Those who are not used to learning Likut Moran and haven't had the experience that's mamish breathtaking of watching how the tzaddik ties together everything, so you're going to see something here, but obviously only those who have been learning the Torah from the beginning are going to be able to appreciate it. It's been a little while, so remember that the Torah, of course, is talking about the benefit of listening to the nigunim of a God-fearing person, and how that can affect the person's avodas Hashem in a very, very positive way. And the opposite of that is the damage that is caused by listening to the nigunim, the songs of a rasha. And the Rebbe was explaining that Nagina's song comes from the same place of Netzach and Hoid, comes from the same spheres, that same higher realm of Hanhagas Hashem, of Netzach and Hoid, as Nevuah's prophecy comes from. And these are the two spheres, Netzach and Hoid, that are nursing Malchus. And we have a Malchus of Kedusha. The Malchus of Holiness is nursed by the two Siparim that we learn, the Taheris, the Chais Taheris, the birds that are the birds of holiness, which is sound and song of holiness. And the Malchus of Tumah, the Malchus of impurity, is being nursed, is being nurtured and nursed by the Siparim of the Klipas of the Tumah. And that is why there's a positive effect by listening to the Nagunim of Elchidin, of God-fearing Jews. And the danger of listening to nagunim, to songs of the wicked, because music, regardless of what type of music it is, music comes from a high place. It comes from that world of Netzach and Hoid. It's a question of whether it comes from the Netzach and Hoid of holiness and flows through the Malchus, nursing the Malchus of Kedusha and strengthening the Malchus of holiness in our lives and in the world. Well, God forbid, it's coming from the two birds of Tumah, the two birds of Tzaraas, of Lashon Hara, of damaged sound, of damaged voice. And then it strengthens the Malchus of impurity. The Rebbe then explained that the way to protect oneself from the damage, from the harm of this type of music that comes from Rishayim, is by learning Torah, specifically Torah Shebal Peh, at night. And we're talking about a lot, what that means, why is that? And this has the ability to repair the damage of the windpipe that comes from the songs of Rishayim, and to strengthen the Malchus of Kedusha. This is the world of David HaMelech and the music of David HaMelech, particularly at midnight. We spoke about how midnight is breaking the din and moving over to Chesed, learning Torah at night. There's a Chutzal Chesed. There's a Chesed of a special protective loving kindness that shines from HaKadosh Baruch Hu midnight till the morning. There's a special Koyach of the Chutzal Chesed. So even a person who learns Torah not for the best reasons, remember? I mean, those of them learning this sounds like there's something from another planet. It's absolutely not. It's from this planet. It's just that you just arrived on this planet. So the Inyan of David Malki Mashiach of David HaMelech, the Koyach of the Nagunim of David HaMelech, would wake up at midnight and begin to sing in the harp that was over his bed, and the Ruach Tzfenis, all of that, the music of David HaMelech's Malchus, and the Malchus of Kedusha, and the strengthening of the Malchus of Kedusha, David HaMelech and Mashiach, and David HaMelech, and the Minat Torah, we're talking about all these different things. Now the Rebbe goes back, and the English is on page 101. What's that? Does it say 101?
101.
Okay, it's yeah, fine. It's where it says 3. Now the Rebbe goes back to the beginning. Remember that this entire Torah is a commentary on a remarkable piece of Gemara in Bava Basra. that we saw at the very beginning, the Gemara that Rabbi begins with is one of the Agadatas Rabbi Barachana, where you remember, just to review, the Gemara is in Bava Basra and Gimel. Rabbi Barachana said that I saw an akrukta that was as akrud the hagrunya. Svardeya, a frog. He saw a frog that was the size of the city of Hagrunya. And how large was the city of Hagrunya? 60 houses. A serpent came by and swallowed it. And then Rabbi Barachana says a pushkansa came by, a raven came by and swallowed the serpent. It ascended and perched on a tree. Come see how great the strength of that tree is. Now this entire maimer is going on, this entire maimer, Torah and Rabbi Nachman is going on that Gemara. How does what we've been learning have anything to do with that Gemara? So you just have to hold on here and see what Rabbi Nachman says. It's halfudic, it's a wondrous thing to see. This is the meaning of what Rabbi Barachana said. I myself saw this akrukta. Rabbi Barachana says, I saw myself this akrukta. The Rashbam comments that this is a tzvardeya. The next page. This is a tzvardeya. Meaning, tzvardeya, the Zohar and the Ari HaKadosh tell us that the word tzvardeya, frog, consists of two words. We've spoken about this in the past. Tzvardeya is tzipor deya. Tzipor deya. So the Rashbam says that this is a tzvardeya, which means tzipor deya, a bird, the bird of deya, of das. As explained, the birds of the klipa are the intellect of malchus of the other side. This is the tzipor deya. The tzipor deya. So Rabbi Barachana says that he saw an akrukta. The akrukta is a tzvardeya. Tzvardeya means tzipor deya, the birds of the klipa, the intellect of malchus of the other side. This is the tzipor deya. Let's take a look at the note, just to make sure that everything here is clear. Look at footnote 35. Tzvardeya, right? Rabbi Barachana sees the tzvardeya, the tzipor deya. The Ari teaches that the term tzvardeya is a composite of the Hebrew word for bird, tzipor, and the word deya, which means awareness or knowledge. The tzipor is malchus, which is built up with deya, the builders of malchus being netzach and hoid. Remember that song comes from the tzipor, from the bird. The bird is netzach and hoid. Tzipor deya, the bird of awareness or of knowledge, is the tzipor, which is malchus, which is built up with deya. Now remember, that comes all the way from Chacham Abina Das, Chabad, deya, das, travels through Netzach and Hoid, and all the way down to malchus. So Rabbi Barachana says, I saw a tzvardeya, an akrukta, which Rashbam says is a tzvardeya, tzipor deya. So Rabbi Barachana, what we're learning here is that Rabbi Barachana was gazing upon, was meditating upon the mystery of song, the koyach of Nagina. And he said that he saw the tzipor deya, the akrukta. He saw that Nagina, music, the music of a rasha, comes from a very exalted place, the same place of the tzvardeya, which is the tzipor deya, which is the place of the birds, the tziporim, the shnei tzipor chayis toheris that we spoke about. That means netzach and hay, from the place of where the birds sing that music, which is the place of nevuah, right? The kruvim, where that comes from. So Rabbi Barachana was meditating upon that reality of the greatness of music, of the power of song, of the bird, of the tzvardeya, the tzipor deya. This is what he was thinking about. This is the tzipor deya. As explained, footnote 36, see above. As mentioned in note 10, das or deya is the faculty by which man collates and filters the awareness provided by the Meichen. Those two, chokhmah, bina. Das is what connects to the lower spheres. It filters out thought and intellect. The deya of the two live pure tziparim, or it can be done in a profane manner. This can be done in a pure matter. The deya of the two live pure tziparim, or it can be done in a profane manner, the deya of the tziparim of the klipa. If the music that we're listening to is music of kedusha, of holiness, so then our intellect is filtered through the netzach and hod of that music. The netzach and hod of that music is what is holy. It strengthens holiness, and it nurses the malchus and builds us up as better Jews. The music of kedusha that comes from the birds of kedusha, from the tzipor there, from the tzvadeya, that das comes through the tzipor, the music of kedusha. Or God forbid, the intellect of a person can be filtered through and affected and damaged by the impure birds. Because for everything that exists in holiness, there's the counterpart in impurity, as we learned. So there's the unholy birds, which is unholy music. And then a person's intellect, a person's mind, travels through that and is affected by that type of music from the tzipor deya, the tzipor deya of impurity, and then that nurses malchus, and it affects your entire Yiddishkeit. It either builds your Yiddishkeit or it tears down your Yiddishkeit. The gunim of kedusha build up a person's Yiddishkeit, the malchus of kedusha, and listening to music of impurity damages and destroys the malchus of kedusha. So this is what Rabbi Barbar Chana is thinking about. He was looking. He said, "I saw myself the akrukta. I saw myself the power of music. The Rashbam says the tzvardeya back on top. And how great and how powerful was this tzvardeya, this akrukta? This was as akra the hagrunya." The Gemara says, this was, Rabbi Barbar Chana says, this was as large as the city of Hagrunya. Akra de Hagrunya. Where is that city? It's the city of Hagrunya. And Kra means the city of Hagrunya. What's the Akra de Hagrunya? So Ibn Ahmed says, this is phonetically similar to Kra Bahagaron. In Aramaic, Kra, which means a city, means to call out, lekro. And Hagronya, the name of the city, means the garon, to call out with your throat, with your voice. So he sees that the city was as great as kro de Hagronya, kro hagaron, the crying out from the throat, which is from the pasuk in Navi. The song is drawn from the tzipor deya mentioned above. Look in 37, footnote 37. Akra da agunya, kra begorin. God instructed Yeshaya, a prophet. Remember that it comes from the same place as prophecy. Hashem Yisbarach tells the Navi Yeshaya, a prophet, the voice, the source of Malchus, that's the Navi, to cry out in a loud voice. To cry out in a loud voice, for which one must contract the vocal cords. Remember, we were learning about the effect of the vocal cords of sound, of music, of the voice, of impurity, as opposed to the learning of Torah at night, you remember? And the kane, the windpipe, repairing the throat, the windpipe. So Rabbi Barbar Chana says, I saw this akrukta. And how great was this akrukta, this sipadeh, this svadeh? It was as great as akra de hagrunya, which is kar begaran, to cry out in a loud voice from the Navi. That's how great it is. An outcry that comes from the highest place, from the Navi. For which one must contract the vocal cords. Meher Nachal explains that akrukta, malchus, is rectified through akra de hagrunya. But akrukta, which is interesting, akrukta, which is the Aramaic for the frog, akrukta has also the words akra, to call out, to cry out. So that is Malchus, is rectified through Akra de Hagrunya, the voice song from the birds of Deah, which draws from the same place as the prophets. So song comes from a very high and exalted place, Akra de Hagrunya. Akra de Hagrunya comes from that same place where the Navi's throat, where the Navi cries out from. That's where Nagina, that's where song comes from. The song is of impurity, and Lahavdil, the songs of Kedusha, but they come from such a place. Akra de Hagrunya, back on top. And then Rabbi Bar Bachana says, and how large was Akra de Hagrunya? And how big was this place, Akra de Hagrunya? So Rabbi Bar Bachana says an amazing thing. He says that it was 60 houses. Why 60 houses? That is, by what means the concept of cry out from the throat rectified? How does one fix the crying out from the throat of impurity? The Akra de Hagrunya, the Kra Hagaron of impurity, how does one fix that? So Rabbi Bar Bachana is saying there are 60 houses. By means of the 60 houses, which means the 60 Mesechtes of Torah Shabbat Peh. Remember, by learning Torah Shabbat Peh, there are 60 Mesechtes in Torah Shabbat Peh. Thus, Rashbam comments, the Rashbam says over there, the Gemara says this, one should study the Gemara. Talmudic Karmala, Talmudic Karmala, Shishim Batim, 60 houses. Rashbam says over there, Talmudic Karmala, Hainu Sheyilma Talmud, that a person should learn Gemara. Look inside 38, study Gemara. Quoting Mishle, Chazal said, then you shall build your houses. This is the study of Gemara. We see in many places in Chazal that building a house, the house, is called the study of Gemara. It's called the study of Gemara, is the house. That's the building. The 60 houses thus alludes to the Talmud, to the Gemara. The study of the 60 houses, meaning the Masechtas of Gemara, itself a rectification of Malchus, rectifies the voice. So the repair of the damage that was done by the Tzipor Deya of impurity, that repair of Akra de Hagrunya takes place through the Shitin Bate, the 60 houses, which means the learning of Torah, the fat Gemara, Torah Shabbat, excuse me, Gemara at night. But there's a problem. What was the problem? It's back on top. Also, Tanin and Bala. Sounds like Chagad, you're right? A serpent came by and swallowed it. Rabbi Bar Bachana said, I saw the koyach, I saw the power of Torah Shel Peh, the 60 houses, to overcome the damage of Akra de Hagrunya, of the Tzipor Deya of Tumah. I saw the Kayach, but there's a problem. The problem is that the serpent came by and swallowed it. Rashbam comments, Rabbi says this, that is, Rashbam says, as Rabbi Karmala, that is, his study was not for its own sake, and so the serpent swallowed it. Remember that Rabbi Nachman was explaining that there's a problem if a person's Torah learning is not Lishma, if the Torah learning is not Lishem Shemayim. It's not for the purest reasons. If you're learning Torah to be called Rabbi, or to become famous, or whatever it might be, but if your Torah is not pure, then the Torah learning that you do during the day is not going to repair the damage of the that took place with the Malchus coming from the Tzipa Day of Tum. It's not going to fix it. So that's what it means. A serpent came by and swallowed it. Rabbi says that is, his study was not for its own sake. And so the serpent swallowed it. Rabbi Bar Bachana is saying, I saw that when learning Torah is not Lishma, then the Nachash, the evil one, the serpent, the side of Tumah, swallows it. This is why Rashbam comments, Rabbi says this. So interesting. The Rashbam says, Rabbi Ka'amala. So Rabbi Kamala, the Gemara says that Rabbi Bachana said this. So what's the Rashbam saying, Rabbi Kamala? So Rabbi Nachman explains, in order to be called Rabbi, Rabbi Kamala means that the learning of Torah was not purely for its own sake, but it was rather to be called Rabbi. Rabbi means Rabbi, a great person. It's not a real name. Rabbi means a great person, means a Rabbi. So Rabbi Bar Chana was saying that I saw, I mean, all of this he was meditating in. And he said, I saw that Torah is the most, the 60 houses can repair, the Akroda HaGruni can be fixed. But there's a problem that the snake comes and swallows up the Torah that a Jew learns. Why? Because Rabbi Ka'amala. Because the Nachash comes and says, you're learning Torah. That's your Torah. Your whole Torah is Rabbi Ka'amala. It's that people should call you Rabbi. Is that you should be looked at in such a way as a choshev a talmid. So it's not lishma. The Torah is not lishma. Look at footnote 39. The term rabba, right, rabbi. The term gavra rabba literally means a great man. Rabba means a great person. Is used in the Gemara to refer to a rabbinical scholar of repute, a great talmid chacham. Is called in Shas many places, even though that's not necessarily his name. But the person is called a rabbi. A gav rabbi is a choshev, a big talmid chacham, a great person. Rabbi Nachman explains Rashbam's comment that it was Rabbi who said this. What does it mean? What does it mean that he says the Rashbam has to tell us that Rabbi Ka'amala? That it was Rabbi who said this as alluding to a person who studies to become a rabbi, a great one, rabbi, a great person, for an ulterior motive, not learning Torah for its own sake. But that's just to get a big reputation or whatever. He studies not for the sake of study alone, but in order to be called Rebbe. Not all that meritorious a motive. In the context of Abba Bar Chana's story, therefore, the Akrukta, which is his study of the Torah Shebaal Peh, is in danger of being swallowed by a serpent. This swallowing symbolizes turning his Shalei Lishma study for personal gain, fame, wealth, etc., into the truly reprehensible study whose motive is one-upmanship and argumentation, which many, you see a lot of that in learning in the yeshivas, a lot of the chevra people that learn this to be able to say and swarz and shlug up and to knock down and so on. So that kind of Torah learning is swallowed by the serpent. That doesn't repair the damage of the akrova agruni, of the akrukta, of the Svardeya, the Tsipardeya of Tuma. Not only that, as we learn, it could even strengthen the Malchus of Risha. It could strengthen the Malchus of Tuma. As the Tzaddikim wrote about, the Talmidei Chachamim who are Shedim Yehudaim, Rabbi Nachman spoke about often, as I mentioned, who he refers to many times in his teachings as Jewish demons, as rabbinical demons, the ones who are just trying to show off Asmata and to make all kinds of fancy pilpulim, but they're not saying anything to. That the learning Torah is not lishma, it's just to be able to show off. So, just to be able to be smart, whatever. So how can a person protect himself from this serpent? It's very hard to learn Torah purely lishem shemayim. It's very hard to learn Torah purely for the sake of heaven. So how does a person protect himself from this? So then the Rebbe goes right there. Back inside. A pushkanza came by. A pushkanza came by. Rashbam explains that this is an orev, an oirev. It means a raven, which is similar to arvis at night, which means you should study Torah at night, especially at night, of course all day. But if you want to overcome this problem of shalai lishma, even if your Torah learning is shalai lishma, but if it's at night, as Rabbi Nachman taught, then there's a chut shel chesed, then there's a special protection of that Torah, even if it's shalai lishma. So that's what it means, that the way to deal with the problem of the serpent, of the tanina that swallows up your Torah, is making sure to continue learning Torah Shabbat Peh into the night. Because that's the meaning of the pushkansa, the Rashbam says the orev, which means the night, erev, the evening, at night. One should study at night. Look at footnote 40. Orev, arvis, at night. The root letters of orev, which is a female raven, and arvis and marav, which we daven at night, are the same root letters. This comparison between orev and arvis also appears in Rashi's commentary to the teaching of the Gemara. His curly locks, taltolam shchairis ka'orev. It says in Shir Hashirim, kivyochel, that Hashem's curly locks, the locks, the hair, the curls of the chosn are black as a raven. What does that mean? Torah resides with someone who rises early to study and studies late into the night. He shows himself no mercy, blackening himself like the raven through self-abnegation. Rashi says there in the Gemara, an Erevin, which means, it's interesting, even the Gemara is an Erevin. The Erevin is also a Lashon of Erev, that's what Erevin means. So, what the Gemara says, and Rashi explains over there, what does it mean, his curly locks, taltolav, that the taltolav, the curls are black as a raven, that's speaking that the Rabbani Shalom's Torah comes into the life of a person who rises early to study and studies late into the night, blackening himself. Blackening oneself means depriving oneself of this world, blackening oneself to you. Like we know from the tzaddikim, Chazal, such things, but blackening oneself like the raven, like the darkness of the raven, which is also the darkness of the night and so on. So that's what it means. Also Pushkansa. The Pushkansa came, the Orei, which means in order to overcome the problem of Torah learning that is not Lishma, that's for the purpose of becoming a Rabbah, a Rebbe, just to, that's not Lishem Shemaim, the way to overcome that is with the Pushkansa. And the Pushkansa means the Orev, learning Torah, be'erev, at night. Back inside. Now the Orev, the night time comes, and the learning Torah of night comes, and swallowed the serpent. The study of Torah at night protected him from the above-mentioned serpent. Meaning from that way of learning, that is the learning that's like a serpent, that means Torah learning, that's not l'shem shemaim, just to show off and to whatever, to argue with people. So that's that Pushkansa, the Orev, the Torah Shmopet at night, which is protected by the Chutzal Chesed of midnight and on, that has the ability to overcome, to prevent the serpent, the Tanina, from swallowing up your Torah learning. Next page. So what did this Orev do? So Rabbi Baba Chana said that it ascended and perched on a tree. V'solik Yosef bi'ilana. It flew up and it was perched on a tree. The Maharsha comments that this is the aspect of Avraham Avinu, of whom it is written, he planted a tree. Vayita Eshel. Everybody knows that Avraham Avinu planted a tree. It's on page 105. It ascended and perched on a tree. So now what happened? This Orev, which means learning Torah at night, protects the Torah from the attack of the serpent. Why? How is that? So the Torah says there's regular Torah learning all day, and there's Torah's Chesed, where there's a special loving kindness attached to your Torah, that Hashem has a special program for people who learn Torah from midnight and on. That's the Chutzal Chesed. Therefore, the raven goes and it ascends and perches on it. It's perched on a tree. The tree is a hint of Avraham Avinu, who planted a tree, the Eshel Avraham, of whom it is written, he planted a tree. This corresponds to loving kindness, because the thread of loving kindness, as we learn, the Chutzal Chesed that is drawn over him protects him from the serpent. So that's what it means. It's perched on the tree, meaning on that. Chesed of Hashem that is drawn upon the person who learns Torah Shabbat Peh at night. Look at 43 and 44. He planted a tree, which means loving kindness. Avraham planted a tree so that he could serve his guests fruit with their meals. So Rashi says, it was a hotel like over there. By virtue of his exceptional hospitality, Avraham came to personify the quality of loving kindness. As he says in the Navi, Titan emes liYaakov chesed laAvraham. Give truth to Yaakov, loving kindness to Avraham. So Avraham Avinu was the embodiment of loving kindness. So the raven is protected from the serpent because it is perched on the tree. The tree means the Eshel Avraham. And also in Kabbalah, the tree means the inyan of chesed, because that's the inyan of a tree. The inyan of a tree is to give you tea, is to give a person tea. You take from it fruit and it keeps on giving you fruit. It's a merdeka chesed. The way that a tree works is that you take from it and it keeps on giving you. It's like parents, right? You take and it keeps, not as much as you take, it keeps on giving you. So That's the chut shel chesed. It is drawn upon the person who learns Torah Shabbat at night. Footnote 44, the thread of loving kindness, the chut shel chesed, as explained, by studying Torah Shabbat Peh at night, a person draws loving kindness upon himself. This loving kindness safeguards him from the serpent. Not only is he protected against having his study descend into contentiousness and one-upmanship, but the thread of loving kindness even has the power to transform his studying or personal gain into studying lishma. Such is the value of nighttime study of Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, or Kabbalah. Which is all Torah Shabbat Peh. As far as the Noshim Tzadkonis are concerned, I spoke a little about the Inyan a couple of weeks ago, but certainly, since it's already permitted by the Achrayim for women to learn Rashi, so to learn Tanakh with Rashi, when you learn Rashi, you're learning all of Rashi is Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's permissible for women to learn Rashi. It's not permissible for them to learn Mishnah, to learn Gemara, with the exception of Pirkei Avos, where Moshe Feinstein allowed Pirkei Avos. It's forbidden for women to learn Mishnayos, otherwise a Gemara. But you're allowed to learn Rashi. And the Mefarshim, Rashi is all Chazal. To learn Rashi, and to learn Tanakh with Rashi, would mean to be learning Torah Shabbat Peh, which has the same benefit. That's Torah Shabbat Peh. Or even if you're learning the halachas that apply to women, all those halachas that are negated to you, so in Hilchos Shabbos, there's plenty worth learning. You learn your whole life. Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus and whatever it is. All those halachas that negate to a woman, that's all Torah Shabbat Peh. The halachas are Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? if you're learning Musa, you're learning Chassidus. It's all Mamar Chazal. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all teachings of Chazal. It's all built on teachings of Chazal. So it's not pure learning of Gemara, of course, is not the, we spoke about that, that's not the Indian for women. Forget, it's dangerous for women. But as far as learning all the Svarim, HaKadoshim, Sifrei Emunah, and Musa, and Chassidus, and learning Rashi, and Mefarshim, so that's all Torah Shabbat Peh. But it's Torah Shabbat Peh that's permissible. And not only is it permissible, but it too has the kayach to draw the Chutz L'Chesed upon the woman who's learning it, just like the man who's learning Torah Shabbat Peh. So this is the thread of loving kindness. Back on top. Come see how great the strength of that tree is. So Rabbi Baba Chana says, wow, look how strong this tree is. Rabbi expressed his amazement that God's loving kindness on our behalf is so overpowering that it can even protect us from this snake of Lo Lishma. How great is the loving kindness of Hashem that is drawn upon a person who learns Torah at night. That's Rabbi Baba Chana says, Tochazi kama nafish chela di ilana. How strong Hashem's love is, how great and powerful the tree of chesed is, how giving Hashem is that He gives us that ability to repair, to fix all the damage that has taken place in our lives because of the music that comes from the Tzipor Deah that nurtures the malchus of impurity. And now, Rabbi Nachman is not finished. With this it is, where it says four, you see, with this it is possible to reconcile the juxtaposition in the Mishnah. Now we can understand the entire Mishnah. When it says, I say l'charav, everybody knows the Mishnah, get yourself, you should try to acquire, to get a Rebbe, I say l'charav, acquire for yourself a friend, a companion. And judge everybody favorably. And all the mafarshim are talking about what does one thing have to do with the next thing? Right? We know that Mishnah since we were learning, since whoever went to school as children and Pirkei Avos learned later on, we're familiar with that. So what does that mean? So look how Rabbi Nachman explains the Mishnah. Asay l'charav, k'nei l'chachove, v'evedanis kalom l'kafeschus. By listening to the song in the matter explained above, and becoming absorbed in it, so that when another sings joyously, he too rejoices in God. By listening to the negunim of good Jews, and not just listening to them, but by joining in the negunim of good Jews, and being affected and being influenced by the negunim of good Jews. Remember that in Rabbi Nachman's days there were no records or tapes. So the music that was being played was always live. It was being sung. It wasn't. You couldn't just be a passive. It wasn't just a music that was recorded. It was happening when you were there. Like, now you're riding in the car, you're sitting at the dentist or something, and he plays some nigga that causes you more pain than his drill. It's not like it is now. The nigunim were labored because alive, it was live music. So when you listen, Nachman says, by listening to the song, the matter explained above, when you listen in a good way, in a real way, and that way is together with a good program, a strong program of Torah Shema Peh at night, and good music. So when you listen in such a way, and so when another sings joyously, he too rejoices in God. And when another sings with spiritual inspiration, he too is inspired and contemplates repentance that Nigunim bring you to do tshuva. When you learn Torah Shema Peh at night, and you listen to Nigunim of Eilei Chayim, real Nigunim of Kedusha, then you'll be inspired to return to Hashem. To return to Hashem, not to go after the latest Jewish so-called Jewish concert, to go do aveiros or to go hang out, whatever it is. You'll be inspired to do tshuva. So how much tshuva do these nagunim of the Jewish, hip hop? How much tshuva comes from those nagunim? I'm certain that more aveiros come from those nagunim than tshuva. So that this inspires, he too is inspired and contemplates repentance. He then rectifies the concept of building up malchus, namely Netzach and Hayd, as mentioned, are then being built up, and the Shelo Lishma of his learning is fixed, is strengthened, and the malchus of kedusha is strengthened. So now look how Rabbi Nachman explains the Mishnah. This is Asei L'Charav. Give yourself a Rav, a Rebbe, meaning rectify the aspect of Malchus. What does that mean? Look at 49. Footnote 49. The Gemara teaches, how do you know that the Chacham, the rabbis, are called Melochim? Asei l'charav, a Talmud Chacham is a king. A Talmud Chacham is a king. It says in Pasuk, with me, king, with me, kings rule. Me. The next page. And the English goes, the footnote goes to 107. Me, our sages say, refers to the Torah. Likening rabbis and Torah scholars to Melochim indicates that they are an aspect of Malchus, as Rabbi Nachman explains elsewhere. The Torah scholars are the ones who elevate Malchus. In Chazal, Talmid Chacham are called Melochim. Be Melochim Imleicha. That's the pasuk. Be Melochim Imleicha. Those who are masters of Torah are the true Melochim, are the true kings in this world. Be Melochim Imleicha. Why? Because Torah learning builds the Malchus. Torah learning builds the Malchus of Hashem in this world. That's the most powerful way to build the Malchus in this world, is the Torah learning. But the Torah learning has to be Lishma. Or at least it's helped when it's learned at night. So back inside, Rabbi Nachman says that is, get yourself a Selach HaRav, the Mishnah says, rectify the aspect of Malchus, a Selach HaRav, make yourself into a Rav, fix the Malchus, become a Talmud Chacham, lift up your Torah. It is accomplished by Knei, which means acquire, for yourself a companion. That is, by means of the Kone. Knei, which is acquire, is the same letters as Kone. Kone means, as you remember, windpipe, via which the voice emerges. Knei l'chachover, that by means of using your voice, Knei is Kone. Kone means windpipe. That by using your voice in the way of Kedusha, with the learning of Torah at night, you're able to repair, to fix the improper use of the kana, of the windpipe, which is the music of tumah, the music of impurity. Look at footnote 50. It's on page 107. Turn the page. Kana, knei, kana. How does obtaining a rabbi, which means malchus, rectify the voice? Fukneh, for yourself a companion, meaning the study of Talmud at night. The holy speech of nighttime Gemara study rectifies the six orders of the Mishnah. You remember? The six rings of the kana, of the windpipe. The six orders of Torah Shebaal Peh, we learned, are to repair the six rings of the windpipe, the kana of the voice. So that's what it means. Aseh lecha rav, and then kneh lecha chaver. That the kana, the windpipe, will no longer be your enemy, but it will become your chaver. This is the rectification of Zerampa and Amalchus, of voice and speech. Now what happens is the beautiful bonding of the Kruvim in holiness. Right on top of it, this joins on top of 107 inside. Look at the. This joins the two Kruvim so that they are face to face as the embrace of a man and his consort when the Jewish people perform the will of the Holy One. So this joins together. Knei lecha chaver. Chaver means lechaber, which means to bind together in love the two birds of holiness that are the Kruvim, which is the koyach of Nevuah and Torah Shebaal Peh in its fullest, strongest way. So the two Kruvim are facing each other as a husband and wife, meaning in that way of intimacy, when the Jewish people are performing the will of Hashem. That when Klai Yisrael are Oisim Mitzvah Neshamakam, then the two Kruvim, the two birds, Kruvim were like birds with wings. We spoke about that. Then the two Kruvim are able to face each other and to bond with one another. So Aseh Lecha Rav, which means Malchus, Torah, Rav, which means a Rebbe. Aseh Lecha Rav, the Talmud Chacham is Malchus. Uknei Lecha Chaver, then the Knei, the Kana, the windpipe, the six orders, through the six orders of Torah Shebaal Peh, this causes it to be a chaver, to be a chibur, a bonding together of the two birds of holiness, so the two Kruvim, the two Tziporim Chayis Tahirs, when Klai Yisrael is then able to do the Ritzayin Shemokim. So this symbolizes the koyach of the man and the woman is the koyach here of Zer Anpin and Malchus, the male and the female, which is voice and speech. Voice is the male and speech is the female. The voice and speech are bound together. That's Zer Anpin, Chesed Gvut Ves Netzachayt Yisoid. That's Zer Anpin, that's the male. Together with Malchus, which is the female, are bound together, which is voice and speech. And that's the two Kruvim. And from there comes all the music and all the prophecy of holiness. From two Kruvim being bound together. So on top. But then, when a person rectifies his aspect of Malchus, he's able to rule over whatever he chooses. He can bring death to one person or give life to another. This is how the tzaddik is able to do these things. He's able to bring death to one person or give life to another. The world would then be ravaged. To this the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah asks every tzaddik and every Talmud Chacham, and judge everyone favorably. It is necessary to judge each person favorably, for the Holy One has no desire in the world's destruction. He did not create a wasteland, but formed it to be inhabited. Which means, the heavy done is called Adam Makav Schus. Right? He brings in the footnote 55, the story that we're all familiar with. It was only a little while ago, it was Lag BaOmer, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar, when they came out from the cave, the first time, wherever they looked, they were destroyed. Because they didn't judge the world favorably. And they had the power. They had the koyach of Malchus. Man Malchi Rabbanan. In other words, because Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar during those years had perfected themselves to such a degree that the two Kruvim were now bound together, voice and speech, Zeanpin and Malchus, the whole system is plugged in and all the lights are lit up and everything is like, everything's working. Everything is working. The whole system is working. So, and they were learning there all the time, was learning day and night from the highest place in the teachings of the Zohar Kodesh, was the Bechina of Nevuah. Everything was revealed at that time by Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. So the one thing that was missing was their way of looking at the world. They had this energy, they had this power now. But the Rabbi Nachman says that the tzaddik, this tzaddik who has repaired Malchus, has the ability, Hashem made the Tamil Chacham kings over this world. Tzaddik Goyzer, Kesh Baruch HaMekayim. that the tzaddik can say who's going to live and who's going to die. But it's a problem if the tzaddik does not judge favorably, and he looks at the world through the eyes of perfection, then the world will be destroyed. So when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar came out from the cave, and they had that koyach of the tzaddik, of Malchus. They were kings over the world. Hashem made them kings over the world because the Malchus was repaired. So as kings over the world, they saw all the imperfections and weaknesses of the world, and they began to burn the world up with their eyes. And Hashem's Baruch told them, the voice came down and said, Chizru l'maraschem, go back to the cave. So then when they came out, Rabbi Shimon fixed that inyan, and then it was, then Itaki said, Kama chaviva mitzvah yisrael, the Yidin, the Gaval, the Yidin, the beautiful. And he was done, he judged the Jewish people in a favorable way, l'kaf schuz. He judged us l'kaf schuz, that we go to work, but we mean whatever it is. He judged us l'kaf schuz. So now we understand the whole Mishnah. Listen to Rabbi Nachman, it says the Mishnah. It says, Asei lecha rav, to build yourself to Talmud Chochem, Rav, which is the Malchus of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Malchus of learning Torah, to fix everything that was wrong with Akrod, Agroni, and so on. Asei lecha rav, uknei, and in doing so you will repair the windpipe, the sound, the voice, and the speech of impurity. Knei l'cha chaver, this will join together l'chaber, the kruvim of kedusha of malchus, and fix the tzvardeya, the tzipordeya on the side of holiness, and overcome the tzipordeya of tumah with the 60 houses of Torah Shabbat Peh and so on. At night the orev, the pushkan said at night and so on, sitting on the tree of loving kindness, which is Avraham Avinu. Asei l'cha rav, uknei l'cha chaver. But be careful, now that you have accomplished this and you've come to that place of the tzaddik, be careful to look at every Jew in a favorable way, because if not, then the tzaddikim have the ability to look and to destroy the entire world. If they look at the world through their eyes and they don't, they can't come down to feel the difficulties of those people who are still not in the Malchus of Kedush, who are still stuck with the tzipadeya of Tumah. So then the tzaddikim could, God forbid, bring to the world's destruction, because now the person has this koyach to rule, the tzaddik is such a koyach of ruling. So that's what it means, that Hashem's Baruch didn't want that. It's necessary to judge each person fairly. Asei lecha rav, knei lecha chaver, v'havidanas kol adam l'kav schus. Hashem didn't want it. Kiloy l'soyu b'ra l'sheves yitzar. The Baruch Hashem wants that the world should be, that the world should be inhabited, that the world should be healthy and should be inhabited, should be good. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll stop here, and next Monday we're going to, Bez Hashem, finish the Torah. Next Monday we'll finish this Torah. And we'll try to daven it a little bit and we'll go by there.